Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Lost Skills Podcast. We help you learn the skills you need to survive modern life. Today's episode is going to be on emergency preparedness in your home. I know I've done shows on this before, but I wanted to talk about a few things. Considering I just went through a snowstorm here in Northeast Wisconsin, and it actually made a state of emergency where we live, and for that to happen from a snowstorm is pretty darn rare. But first, let's talk about our sponsors, shall we? Today's sponsor is Handmade by Nikki. She sells soaps. She sells like baby bibs. She makes welder beanies. She had a pattern to make herself a welder beanie, so I think she'll make welder beanies now. She has an Etsy shop, and guys, if you want to buy some nice handmade goods, go buy it from Nikki on Etsy. I'm going to put her link in the show notes. And besides, where else can you buy a soap that says my soap makes your ass smell good right on the label? I mean, that's a selling point right there. I just laugh every time I see it on the label. And one of these days, I'm going to make a banner for her and put it up on the website, so you guys could just click through to her site and you can go buy a product from her Etsy store. But yeah, she makes some really nice soaps. I have a bar right now. It's a coffee-scented soap, and it has coffee grounds in it for, like, scrubbers. Like, they put oatmeal scrubbers in, and she had coffee grounds in the soap. And, boy, I never knew how sharp coffee grounds were. There were some of them where it was like, oh, that's kind of sharp. But, yeah, It's a really good soap. I really enjoy using Nikki's soaps. In fact, when I run out of some of it, I have some other soap I have to use up, and then I think I'm going to buy some more from Nikki. Kind of one of those people that always had... sometimes I would break out and stuff, like in the summertime when you sweat a lot, and I would break out and... get pimples, and ever since I used her soap, I really don't have that problem. So I'm wondering if it was kind of the soap that was the problem, but I don't know. Anyway, she makes a fine product. She's a member of the community. She listens to the podcast when she sews. So if Nikki's sewing, hi Nikki. One day she actually messaged me and told me I need to record some more podcasts so she has some stuff to listen to when she's sewing. Okay, another thing is, guys, if you want to help support the show, you can buy a sticker that says LostSkillsPodcast.com. It's got our logo on it. All right, now that that's done, let's get into the main topic, which is being prepared for emergencies. It's April. We just had winter storm. I think it was Evelyn. Yeah, Evelyn came through our area and it dropped 30 inches of snow here. Now, one thing you gotta realize I live in Northeast Wisconsin, is a normal snowstorm is, you know, 3 to 6, maybe 6 to 8, and a pretty, you know, large snowstorm is 12 to 14 inches. That's usually in a day. Well, the thing about snowstorm Evelyn was it was a 3-day storm, which dropped about 10 inches a day, depending on where you were. Some areas got 30 inches, some got 24. And we have 50 mile an hour gusting winds, which made, in some places, whiteout conditions, made driving hard. Actually, there were some highways that were closed to all vehicles except emergency vehicles. Or, you know, if you were in an emergency. There was a lot of snow coming off the bay of Green Bay and blowing into some of this, like Marinette, Wisconsin, Menominee, Michigan. The snow was blowing in and there was big drifts that was coming off of the bay. Sorry guys, if I sniffle a little bit, I'm a little sick. I wanted to record this show though. And, it's been, pretty bad. I mean, I drove around and it wasn't too bad, but, with the snow drifting and stuff, I had drifts in my yard that were over three and a half feet tall in some spots. In some spots, it was only 6 inches of snow, but in other spots, there were some really large drifts. In Marinette, Menominee, I saw snow drifts that were taller than a person, you know, that about 6 foot tall guy. You know, most average height 6 foot, so I assume that the snow drift was probably 6.5, 7 feet tall. The local YMCA had people standing there, and the drift that was up against the building went about 3-4 feet above their heads. And some of the against the building where I worked, there was 8 to 10 foot drifts up against the garage doors. In Green Bay, they had 30 inches of snow about, and with the blowing and all that, it drifted in some places. There was a Walmart that the walls started to buckle on. There was, I think, 8 buildings that had their roofs collapse. One was a machine shop, that one was an Econo Lodge hotel. The area above the swimming pool collapsed. So it was, I'm going to say, in Wisconsin, you know, usually we get a lot of snow. We're used to a lot of snow. But this was an especially harsh snowstorm. And it's one of the first times in my life that I can remember them saying to have food and water, and you have, if you have a generator, make sure you have fuel, and to to try to have some form of alternative heat, because it might be a couple of days before they can come and plow you out. There were cars stranded on the highway. People drove until they drove into drifts, and they were stuck, and they had to abandon their vehicles and walk to the nearest house. It was a bad storm. But I wanted to talk, you know, and me being a prepper, you know, it was kind of like, well, okay, I got gas for my generator. My generator's full. I have gas cans. My truck, we went and took the truck. Took our truck and our Trailblazer, our four-wheel drive, to town, and we filled them both up. That way they had gas. My truck holds 35 gallons of gas, so I could idle it with the inverter for a long time if I had to. You know, my Trailblazer, it's got a regular 20-gallon tank. So if I had to idle it, or if I had to go somewhere, you know, I had a four-wheel drive with a full tank of gas. And I made sure all my gas cans were topped off and stuff. I did that before the storm was supposed to get there. It was snowing lightly, I think, when I went and filled everything up. I didn't really need to, but I figured, well, you never know how bad it could be. So I want to talk about a few things. You know, in the event of a snowstorm like that, I know James in Tennessee and stuff has had, you know, where he's been iced in for a week where you can't get around because the ice is so bad. Here, usually, you know, you get a bad storm like that, it's a couple of days. It could possibly be a week, but I've never in my lifetime been stuck at home and not be able to go to work or anything. Actually, a few factories did close down, which is pretty rare. The one place I used to work at, I worked there 18 and a half years. It never closed down. It closed down that snowstorm on a Monday after the snowstorms happened. But yeah, I mean, if you guys, if you have a pantry, try to have a deep pantry where you have, you know, a week or two worth of food, you know, box meals, dry goods, canned goods. My pantry, I have quite a bit of stuff in the pantry, and not all of it's good for like the paleo diet or whatever, but if you're stranded at home, you know, it doesn't really matter. Those foods store better. You know, like, not rice-a-roni, but, you know, like, minute rice and noodles and stuff like that. You know, that stuff's good to have around. Well, my wife and daughter still eat that stuff, so there's always usually plenty of that stuff around. You know, our fridge, you know, usually is pretty stocked with food. Our freezer, you know, there's roasts and steak and venison and all kinds of stuff. So I was like, I'm not worried about the food part. I got my generator where I can cool my fridge and my freezer down. And hell, it's winter. I could always take the stuff outside if I really had to. Well, it's actually spring, but I think it was like 30 out. So I wasn't worried about that. You know, my wife was like, oh, we might have to fill some jugs with water. And I told her, well, now we have a generator. We can run our well pump and stuff. Some people can't do that. So you might have to, you know, make sure you have water, not only for drinking, but for washing dishes, you know, for just general cleanliness, stuff like that. Sometimes it's just as easy as filling your bathtub with water for flushing your toilets and stuff if you live in town. But yeah, you know, you should have, in the winter time, you should have, you know, at least a week's worth of food, you know. And I have a water cooler in my house now, which is kind of nice because I've kind of always wanted to have a little more water stored around. Well, it's now we got the jug, and my wife was like, I don't want to. She goes, it always sucks to refill the jug, so I bought a second jug. One of these days, I'm going to buy a third jug, and I'll fill them up and have them in the basement. It's just nice to have extra 15 gallons of drinking water around, besides, you know, the cases of water we have in the basement and stuff. So, you know, we have plenty of water. Like I said, we had enough fuel. That's one of the things. If you have a generator, you should have 20 gallons of fuel or so, probably at least, you know, especially if it's a winter storm. You're not going to run your generator all the time, but it would be kind of nice to run it to have, be able to heat your house. Stuff like that. The basic preparedness stuff, you know, a blackout kit and all that. I do want to talk a little bit about alternate heat, since most people don't have alternate heat. You know, having alternate heat, it could be as simple as having one of those Big Buddy heaters or one of them catalytic heaters that go on top of a propane tank. I have an outdoor wood boiler, which I could run my generator on, and I could run my furnace, and I could run everything. But in addition to that, if I don't want to run it, I have a convection heater out my garage that runs on propane, and I have a 100-pound propane tank out my garage. The convection heater also will run off 20-pound cylinders. And if I remember right, the 20-pound cylinder will run it for, oh, I want to say 20 hours, but I'm not sure about that. I don't think it's 20. Maybe it's 10 hours. But I have a 100-pound cylinder, which runs it pretty much about half the winter. So, you know, have something like that. I know people buy kerosene heaters. You just have to be very careful when you do that, that you leave a window cracked in the house or something so that you can, you don't get a dangerous buildup of carbon monoxide. If you're going to run a heater or something like that in a house, please have carbon monoxide detectors, battery-powered ones preferably, in place so you can use them and have them in the room that you're running the heater in. That way, you know, you can always run the heater for a while, turn it off, and then run it again, turn it off, you know, and just do that. And, you know, another important thing is just to have the proper clothes and stuff. Like, you know, like I have a pair of boots and they're rated, I think they're rated for 50 below zero, which is, you know, even in a really good set of winter boots, sometimes your feet can get cold, especially if you're not walking a lot. It's good to have yourself a set of Carhartt bibs, Carhartt jacket, you know, a thick winter jacket. And it's just good to have those around. Even if you couldn't run the extra heat in your house, that'll keep you warm. I've actually went ice fishing. And my friend, we were out on the Bay of Green Bay. We were probably a half mile out. And with the wind going, you know, it wasn't a real bad breeze, but it was enough that kind of sat by the four-wheeler for a windbreak. And me and him were ice fishing. It was 8 below zero. And we were fairly comfortable as long as we stayed behind the windbreak, which was the four-wheeler. And we sat there and watched tip-ups and fished all day. And actually, we were sitting out there and we had beers and stuff and our beers were freezing. It was a fun day, but yeah, it was cold. And it probably really wasn't worth going out fishing for, but you know, when you're young, you use any excuse you can to go fish. So, you know, just having the proper clothes. I wish at that point that when I was younger and we did that, I mean, cell phones really didn't have cameras and stuff yet, because it would have been cool to have the pictures of me and him out on the ice fishing. You know, all you could see was a little bit of where our eyes weren't covered. You know, we had our faces covered with ski masks and stuff. We were out there fishing. And you could, if you would have saw us, you would have known we were having a good time, you know. So it's good to have those types of cold weather clothes. Also, you know, if to have cold weather sleeping gear would definitely help in like a winter storm or what if you're snowed or iced in. That's just another item. Also, I want to say get a good pair of ice cleats. If you're iced in where it's an ice storm, sometimes you have to go outside to do things. If you have to go outside and get your dog, let your dog out, or if you have to go, like in my case, a lot of times I go out and fill the wood boiler, it gets icy, you could just strap on those ice cleats and walk around just like normal. A lot of times I also use them for like ice fishing and stuff. So that's another good item to have just in your winter weather preparedness kit. Like I said, also to have a blackout kit, you know, if snow or ice bring trees down on the power lines, you could lose power. And it's kind of nice to have flashlights and stuff where they're readily accessible and you can get to them. And honestly, guys, I'll tell you something about the blackout stuff. If your wife or, you know, your significant other is resistant to prepping, starting with a blackout kit is probably the easiest thing to do. Because everybody loses power at one time or another. Say, hey, I'm going to make this bag. It's going to have candles in it. It's going to have flashlights. Maybe one of them LED lanterns. And we're going to put it right here. And you tell your wife or your husband or whoever exactly where it is. And all you have to do is wait until the power goes out. And then when you pull that out and you light up the house and everything, it's kind of like you saved the day. And, you know, it's... Once you talk about that, it's easy to tell them, hey, I have another idea. How about we try this? You know, and you talk about another preparedness item. You know, maybe a medical bag or a first aid kit or a hospital bag, which is, you know, just having some clothes in your car in an old backpack so that if something happens, you have clothes to go to the hospital with. But yeah, that's kind of getting off topic, but yeah, that's some of my thoughts on this. You know, my phone's updating because I'm sitting in my driveway and I got Wi-Fi now. I just wanted to do a short podcast on this because I thought it was really weird that I'm 39 years old and I cannot remember once in my adult life that they ever said here to have food and water available and alternate heat. So I just thought that was something that, you know, I should do a podcast about and maybe talk about a little bit. And I think as Northerners, sometimes we have the ability to be like, it's not going to be that bad. Like I know James from survivalpunk.com, go check his site out if you don't already. He was iced in for a week, snow and ice and stuff, and they couldn't go to work for a week there because they don't have anything to clear the roads with. And, you know, here it was 2 days later when they came by and plowed the road once, and within like 4 hours, it didn't look like they even plowed our road. So, I mean, it took a couple of days for everybody to get everything dug out. And, I figured, you know, we should talk about that a little bit. Because, like I said, sometimes as Northerners, we forget about those things. So, you know, I hope you guys like today's episode. It's just some random thoughts and stuff I had. You know, sometimes, like I said, as people that have these things happen all the time, you don't really think of being prepared for that. But if you're prepared for that, you're prepared for a lot of things. You're prepared to lose your job. You're prepared for something bad happening and the power goes out or whatever. I was going to say, you know, I'm not one of those people that's prepared for the zombie apocalypse. I'm not prepared because Yellowstone's going to blow, but I'm prepared just because life throws a curveball at you. Like when I lost my job last year, I was working by this time, but the first year last year, I lost my job and I went a month without buying groceries. Just what, you know, my deep pantry, stuff we had in the fridge. I mean, we bought some odds and ends here to make a meal here or there, but we had roasts, we had venison, we had stuff, you know, meat in a freezer, and we had all that stuff, and I made meals every day, and never really had to go to the store for anything. So, you know, it's being prepared isn't just for all the fun, cool, sexy prepper stuff. It's for the stuff that actually happens to you, like when life decides to kick you right in the balls. And if you don't like the way I phrase that, I'm sorry. That's what life does. Sometimes it comes up and does that. So I just thought, like I said, I would bring it up. And I'm sorry if I'm rambling, guys. I'm kind of tired. It's late at night. I just got off of work. And I figured I would record this episode. So until next time, I know there's going to be a couple more gun control ones and some other stuff that I got to put up. But okay, I'm going to get out of here. Talk to you guys later. Bye.